This audio consists of 10 brief interviews with public sector strikers made during the national strike on the 24th of November 2009. You'll find more reports on this strike at www.wsm.ie/story/6241. You'll also find more audio downloads at the WSM site.
Well, my name is Michael Kieran. We have Kieran there and John. And there's a couple of us on picket outside a rally parade here off Moor Street. Dublin 1.
And why are you at today?
Well, protest over the government taking more money off us they've already taken money off us already in a pension levy, a tax levy, and they've increased our RSI, which nobody seems to realise that's gone up by at least 20 euros a week as well. So they want to take more money off us. They want to reduce our basic take home pay, which is fundamentally wrong because, like everyone else, there's too much money being taken out of our wages at present.
How long have you guys been out here today?
Well, it started at 6 o'clock. We're all doing shifts, roster shifts, because it's quite cold at the moment, so there'll be more lads on later on.
Okay. So, what's the mood like in the office or in the place about the...
Well, the mood is very upbeat at the moment, but it's going to escalate if this keeps up. It has to escalate because they can't take any more money off us.
Yeah.
Like, we can't take... There's people out there on tellies and all saying that our wages should be decreased. We can't decrease it anymore. There's lads here missing 150 euros a week out of wages as is. I'm down 87. Some guys are here longer. And don't forget, we're also not getting a yearly increase. That stopped as well. So, well, they're just piling on us. I mean, if you take, for instance, there was an episode in the paper yesterday where I was just telling the lads there this morning. They're buying 25,000 euros worth of toys for the Christmas creche in the Dáil this week. That's taxpayers' money. They're buying toys for the people that work there in the creche. 25 grand. Why are they doing that? You know, if you run a creche, you're giving your money. You should buy your own toys for your own children.
Yeah.
Why should we pay for them? That's only one thing. What else is going on that we don't know about?
Why do you think the workers like you are getting targeted instead of other people?
It's always
a public sector getter because there's so many of us in the public sector because of Ireland the way it is.
Yeah.
And it's an easy way. It's an easy way of saving money. There's loads of other ways to save money. Other people come up and save money, other different parties, and they're just rubbish now. It's just their easy way of doing things.
Is this your first time on strike?
Yes, believe it or not, it is. First time ever on strike.
How was the organising for it? Was that right?
It's like everything else. You learn your mistakes, and from this time we'll learn better, and we'll be better the next time. And it is going to get better, and it is going to get worse. And
do you think you're going to have to come out again?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I think it's looking at maybe another a week one there, and then maybe a 2 week one, and then maybe a month one before anybody takes heed of this.
Okay, so you think you're just going to have to keep on coming out till the government's back down?
They're going to have to back down. They're back down on other things. They're going to have to back down on this one because it's not going to work for them. They're going to have to find another way, another tender to take money off to save their own necks.
Okay, great. Thanks very much.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so would you mind telling me where we are and what union you're in?
You're on front of a building called Bishop Square. There are several government departments here. I'm with the Public Service Executive Union, and we work in the Department of Social Welfare in this building.
Okay, and why are you guys out on strike today?
I'm out on strike, or we are out on strike, because as public sector workers, we feel that we have already taken our share. We've taken on the 7.9% pension levy. We are, as other workers are, on income levies and health levies as well. We do a terrific job. We feel that we've been under attack from all sides. We feel we have to apologise almost for being public servants. We work for our pay. The principle of a fair day's wage for a fair day's pay, it underpins everything. You know, that's a principle that we all believe in. And we simply are struggling at the moment. We're moderately paid. We're struggling to pay our basic bills at the moment, and we simply cannot take another pay cut.
So the cutbacks have been hitting people hard.
Oh, very, very hard. I mean, we are the Public Service Executive Union represents people at executive officer and HEO level. The hit to us has been staggering, and we're finding it very, very difficult. And a lot of our other colleagues are in the CPSU. You know, we're talking about people whose average earnings is less than 50,000 a year. They're down already several hundred euro a month, and they're finding it very, very difficult to get by. And not only are they struggling to get by, but they have to deal with a media or a perception that we are overpaid, that we are not worth the money we get, that we get Rolls Royce pension. It's all. There are so many untruths out there. So we're simply saying that we cannot take another pay cut.
Why do you think there's so many myths about the public service?
I really don't know. I think in any situation, unfortunately, we seem to either put blame on somebody else or find some other section to blame. This is cyclical. We have blamed the farmers. We have blamed the doctors. At the moment, it's blamed the civil servants for everything. And it's really, really unfair. They do a terrific job. Public service is something to be proud of. And they do a job. They are paid for it. They're not overpaid for it. They work hard. And it's simply that, we just don't understand.
What's the mood like on the picket line?
It's very good. People are very, very positive. As you can see, there's a huge crowd out. Everybody in the public sector is on side on this. There is nobody saying we shouldn't do it. There's no members. All of our members are out, and they are out. Nobody is opposing it. They are absolutely... because they're ordinary people. I'm one of those people. I have a high mortgage. I'm struggling to pay that mortgage at the moment. So are my colleagues are struggling to pay their mortgages. And we work in social welfare, so we are in a unique position to see the effect that the crisis has on the people we deal with. We know what other people are going through. We're not insensitive to that. But us struggling to pay our mortgage isn't going to help other people who are unemployed and also struggling to pay our mortgage. They're not cutting our pay to increase social welfare. They're cutting our pay and will cut social welfare as well, so that we will all struggle. So we're all absolutely united. And I must say, the support, contrary to what one would have thought, the support from the general public today has been very good.
Okay, great. Would this be most people's first time on strike?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think the strike will be able to accomplish?
Well, I think it will. First of all, it will send a very clear message to government that, as everybody is saying, are our employers. That's why we are here. We are here because the government are our employers. So that its employees simply will not take anymore. The public service unions are prepared to negotiate with government and are trying to negotiate government. And contrary to what the media says, they have ideas about tackling the budget deficit for this year and for next year. And government needs to listen to them, because it will have on its hands a very, very dissatisfied workforce. And it needs its public servants. Government needs its public servants. It needs its civil servants. The country needs its civil servants. And I think it's going to be a clear message that they have to negotiate further with the public sector unions.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, okay.
We're outside the Department of Education in Marlborough Street, and we're on a public service anti-cuts protest.
Okay, so what's your workplace yourself?
I'm a primary teacher in Dublin North City.
Were you on a picket earlier this morning?
No, but I'll be on this afternoon from 12:30 to 2:00.
Okay. So what's the protest about? What are you trying to do?
Well, the protest is about the unfairness of the cuts, in that we've already been cut by up to 14.5%, and now we are expected to take more cuts, while some people aren't cut at all. I mean, I could, for example, illustrate the fact that Allied Irish Bank, which are basically bankrupt, have given their workers a 3% increase, are giving them a Christmas bonus, and are paying for their Christmas party, massive Christmas party, and yet they're bankrupt. It's taxpayers funding all of that. And people who do the work that basically makes this country run, we're the ones that are being scapegoated.
Why do you think that is?
Because we're an easy target, really. It's because the government actually pay us, so it's easy for the government just to stand back and say we're not paying you as much.
Okay. So what's the mood like here?
Well, I think the mood here can be best described as resolute. I mean, we've had a hammering in the media, especially in RTE, and far from cowing people, that's actually made... I'm a staff representative, so I can tell you that's actually made people more definite that they're going to come out and not take this.
Yeah.
Of course, for younger people here, I mean, our last strike was in the 80s, so many of the people here, many of my colleagues, have never been on strike, and so it's a totally new experience for them, and maybe a little bit bewildering. But for those of us who fought the government and won before, it's just back to the 80s.
So, just back to the future.
Yeah. If only my hair would grow back like it was in the 80s.
How's the organising been, and if it's people's first strike?
It's been absolutely excellent now, because from the top, we're in Dublin City North, and the directions from the top have been impeccable, and they've got out to all the staff reps, and all the staff reps have cooperated totally, because there is that level of commitment that we're not going to take this.
Do you think you'll be able to get the government to back down?
Well, I think the government can't ignore stuff like this, because you see, what happens is they look at the banks and they get mesmerised by the fact, well, you know, what happens if the banks collapse? But then they're going to turn around today and say, well, what happens if the people who run the country say, no, we're not going to run it, we're not taking this? So it kind of introduces a little bit of balance. I think that's the best thing to say.
Do you think you'll have to go out for more strikes?
I don't doubt it. I'd say this is the start of a long campaign until they realise that we're actually serious.
My name's Meade. This is the Meade Community Unit. We're on strike for, because first and foremost, because of the cutbacks in our wages, people are inclined to think that we're on huge money and we're in secure jobs. Not in secure jobs. They're outsourcing our jobs. They're trying to, so I'm a chef, and they are trying at this minute to outsource. Not only are they cutting our wages back, but none of us have secure jobs and none of us are on huge money. We're on small money compared to most places. And now they're trying to outsource our jobs, and we're going to be working maybe next year for €9 an hour.
Who are they trying to outsource them to?
There was a meeting on the 9th of November. This is supposed to be our hush-hush and on the QT. But 32 companies, the HSE and 32 companies, to have the jobs outsourced. Now, the likes of all the catering companies and that, and the cleaning companies and all them kind of things. We have a cleaning company in there, and they can do anything. They can be agency, they can be cleaners, they can make beds, they can even be chefs. And we have a right to be, we should be notified of these things, and I don't think it's right. I think it's very unfair that they're doing these things behind our backs.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all down a lot of money with the two
pension levies.
All levies already.
Well, pension levies.
Yeah. We're down with a lot of money with that. And now they're taking another 7% off us. If you take 7% off my wages, I might as well stay home and go on the labour.
Yeah. How are the cutbacks affecting you?
The cutbacks haven't affected us in any way. I've been directed from management, I am not to save money. I had murder with my management 3 weeks ago because I tried to cut back a little bit, save a couple of pounds here and there.
Yeah.
And I was told, under no circumstances am I allowed to save money in the kitchen where I work. I don't work in the meat community, I work in Ramines.
So how does that make sense?
Saving the money.
Well, if they're not letting you save the money.
It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense. I mean, they're telling me to put out stuff that, you know, I have to put croquettes on all people's dinners. People don't eat them, they throw them away. But I have to put them on. I try to stop putting them on, and the management will not allow me.
Seems crazy.
It's absolutely crazy. We're in a recession, and I don't think the management of the HSE realise we're in a recession. I think they think it's a joke.
But they're trying to, they're still trying to outsource your jobs and...
At the same time, while I'm trying to save money, they're not allowing me to save money, and they're trying to outsource my job at the same time.
So do you think they have an agenda? Or are they trying to do something, or...?
I think they have an agenda, yeah. I think they want rid of... the only people that matter in the HSE is the likes of Drum himself, is the most important person in the HSE, and then it's the nurses and the doctors. The clients they don't give diddly squat about the clients. They don't give diddly squat. And this crowd in here, the management organised who came out on strike and what time they came out on strike. It wasn't the union. The union gave nothing for it. I mean, there's three shop stewards in these premises. And there's not one of them here. We're here since 7 o'clock this morning. No shop steward.
What's the union? It's the INO, is it?
Well, I'm SIF2.
You're SIF2.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's an INO official strike note there. There's not one nurse on it. They're all in there working.
That's...
And the management decided who came in. They actually bullied a girl that was off, should be off today. They bullied her into coming in.
Okay.
To do the kitchen duties up on the wards. They bullied the girl. She's not a girl, it's a woman. They bullied her.
Okay.
Now she's made enemies for herself in her workplace because she let them.
Yeah.
That's management. Can't think what she's called, the head nurse in there, is in since 7 o'clock this morning.
Right.
What's she in there for? What does she do that's in emergency cover? Her two underlings, director nurses, under one, they're in.
Okay.
And where's that move here on strike?
So, what's the mood like on the picket line?
It seems fairly friendly. At the minute, we're all grand. I mean, it's getting... I'm irritable. I am irritable over it. I am. Definitely. Yeah, I am irritated over it. And I'm going from here into SIF2's, into Liberty Hall when I'm at 10 o'clock when I'm finished.
For the march?
No, I'm going into Liberty Hall. I'm going to have a go with the union over there because we should have a shop steward here representing us.
Yeah.
directing us, telling us. I've never been on a strike in my life. 60 years of age, I've never been on a picket duty in my life.
Right.
And you're left here on your own. As I said, one shop steward is in there working.
Yeah, okay. That seems very strange. So have you, what sort of contact did you get from safety leading up to the strike?
We had a meeting last Wednesday that I was in at, and we were told emergency cover.
Yeah.
And only emergency. Then I told them I was away. I went away on Friday morning. I only got back last night, so I had no. I tried to get on to safety yesterday. I rang them, but I couldn't get any answers. There was nobody in the offices.
Okay.
So I'm going from here into the safety office, and I don't have a role.
Yeah, my name is Michael Tomney. I am the coordinator of the strike here for Impact Trade Union. I'm on the central executive of the union, and we represent a very, very large amount of membership in the DIT. There's also all groups of unions here under the Congress banner. There's the Teachers Union of Ireland and SIPTU.
Okay. Who does Impact represent here?
Well, Impact is the largest public service union in the country, and it represents people in maintenance, clerical administration, IT and library services.
Okay, grand. How have the cutbacks been affecting this workplace?
Well, there's been drastic cutbacks, first of all, on the student services, which is pitiful. Lots of students who are our customers, basically. The gyms and the swimming pools and all have been closed down, and they have nowhere to train or exercise or whatever. On the financial side, for the union members, there has been the levy by the government, which is close to 7.5% stoppage. And then there has been basically a ban on all overtime. A lot of people who are in the maintenance and in the lower pay grades will depend on overtime to supplement their wages. But that's been cut, and some people are actually down close to 40% in their wages every year.
Okay. So what's this strike trying to achieve?
Well, what we're trying to achieve is we've already suffered 7.5% cut so far, and the government are planning in the December budget to cut us by another close to 7%, and then further cuts in April / May of another 5%. So approximately right across the board, there will be over a 20% cut in people who are on sort of, less than 40 grand a year, and it wouldn't be viable if all beneficial people are signing on the labour exchange.
Yeah. So you're trying to get the government to back down?
Well, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get the government to negotiate with the unions. We see a way there over a 3 or 4 year period that through natural wastage and the ban on recruitment and the embargo, there'll be close on 38,000 public servants being taken out of the system. And that amount of savings would be enough to accrue for the 1.3 billion that the government are actually trying to save.
Okay, grand. What's the mood like on the picket line?
The mood is very, very high tempo, and everybody is fully committed. This is the first day of action. There are a series of more days of strike and possibly all out after the budget. So everybody is buoyant and willing to go all the way on this one.
Okay, brilliant. Would this be most people's first time on strike?
Well, it would be for certain people, because we've had to have the strike basically in DIT for well over 15 to 16 years. A lot of new people came on stream, and this is their first actual situation where they were actually involved in picketing or striking. And it's a sort of novelty to them at the moment, but I'm a long time in the game, going back to the 70s, where we had problems before with the Charles Hockey government and things like that. So I'm one of the old stagers in it, so I know what it's all about.
Do you think it's gonna head towards that?
Well, if the government don't sit down and negotiate and go for it, the Congress have a very, very good plan, a 10-point plan, a much fairer way of actually achieving the savings, but doing it in a negotiated way, in the partnership way. And if they go forward in that sort of a manner, I think there's a possibility that all this could be in the past,
I'm John Sutton, and I'm outside the National Library of Ireland.
What union are you in?
I'm in Impact.
So, do you work in the National Library?
I do, yes.
Okay, so there's a lot of different unions. There's Impact, there's CPSUs.
Yeah, I know there's, I don't know, there's about four or five of them there is, you know.
Is that all in the National Library?
Well, most of them, yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
How does that work?
Well, I don't know how, it's probably just different work stations, you know.
Okay.
The way it happens, you know.
Okay, so what's the strike about?
Well, we don't want, well, the government, we're here that they're taking a 10% cut, pay cut, and already we're paying the levies as it is from the last budget, you know. So to take any more of us, it won't be worth our while, not my work while working.
Yeah.
To do, you know, so.
How are the cutbacks affecting you?
Well, you can see the difference now. That you're down in your wages now, you know, and you're kind of watching the pennies now.
Yeah.
Yeah, from we were about 2 years ago.
Okay, so what do you hope the strike will accomplish?
Well, I know, like, the way the country is in trouble like that, you know, but, like, he seems to be targeting, you know, the lower paid and the middle class people, and he's not going near and the rich, you know what I mean? Like, and it's always us all the time, you know.
Why do you think that is?
Because he's rich himself.
Good answer. So there's been a lot said in the media and about, you know, public sector workers.
I know, yeah. Sort of I say because we're lucky to have a job, you know. But I say if roles were reversed, they'd do the same themselves they would, you know.
Yeah.
I know. I feel sorry for anybody that has lost their jobs. In my own family, you know, have lost their jobs. And my own brother-in-law, 35 years, you know, couldn't believe it. He got made redundant.
Okay.
You did, you know. So I know what it's like, you know, but you still have to stand up and fight for yourself.
Is this your first time on strike?
Yeah, it is, this time around.
Okay.
Yeah.
How was the organising?
Well, it's all right now. It's okay, but Impact. But, we had to go to them, you know, sort of a way. Yeah. I know we got our letters in the end.
Okay.
You know, to tend us of the day of action.
Yeah. Pretty shocking.
Yeah, it is, yeah. The CPSU seems to be a better organised than Impact. Okay. That's my general feeling in the place, you know, yeah.
So, what's the mood like on the picket line?
Yeah, friendly. Okay, it's only one day. That's it, you know, yeah. Yeah.
I decided that it doesn't prove that we might have another strike for 2 days.
2 days.
Before the budget.
Yeah, when would that be?
The budget is only around the corner.
Okay,
The budget will start on the 9th.
The 9th? Oh, is it the 9th?
Yeah, the 9th.
Okay.
That's why they're doing this quickly. What they're trying to do is they're trying to stop the 5% taking off before the budget.
Yeah.
Because when the budget comes in, that's when he starts, you know.
Yeah.
That's the problem we have.
Okay, so do you think you'll be able to get the government to back down?
No, I don't think so. I think you need more action, you know. Not strikes, you know. I don't know. Something that really can hurt. This is not hurting the government. This is hurting us more than the government, you know. You need something that really will hurt them, you know, the sort of way that they, as he's always saying, we have to feel the pain, but they're not feeling the pain, you know. Until they feel the pain, then he probably will back down.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay.
My name is Mary Palmer, and I work in Stullwares Joseph off Dorset Street.
Okay. And what are you doing here today?
I'm here to show how I feel about the recent cuts in education. I'm here to protest against any further cuts. I think there has to be a more equitable, fairer way. I think more the public service have been hit over and over again, and it looks like we're going to be hit again in the next budget.
Okay, do you think you'll be able to get the government back down?
I think, judging from the mood here today, I think the public sector is growing more and more militant. I think enough is enough. We can't shoulder any more. I think the burden needs to be shared out. I think most people in the public sector at this point understand that there has to be cuts, but they're demanding that they're fair cuts, that they're spread out across society, and that those better off should their wages need to be cut, and that you shouldn't just be targeting middle income earners and the lower paid.
So is this your first time on strike?
No, back in the 80s on strike then.
How's the organising been?
To get this off the ground, there was a huge amount of organisation. So we had our ballot less than 2 weeks ago, and you can see turnout today.
Yeah.
The INTO is certainly well organised.
And what's the mood like at your school?
I think there was a certain despondency or a certain acceptance a couple of months ago. You know, a certain lethargy, but I think in recent weeks the mood is definitely more militant. Teachers are really angry at this point. They feel they have contributed and they are demanding a fairer way of sharing the burden.
Do you think you'll have to keep on coming out?
Yeah,
have a few more strikes.
Well, I think we're prepared to do.
Sure. My name is Sean Carabini, and this I work for the Revenue Commissioners. I'm with the PSEU Union. This building here is the ICT division of Revenue, where they design revenue websites, things like that. Anything I say, by the way, is in a personal capacity. The Union headquarters in Marion Square does have our official line on things. Well, the reason we're here is actually quite simple. There's three conditions we asked the government to meet before we would negotiate with them, before we would talk with them and sit down and really try and find a settlement. One was no mandatory redundancies. The second is no pay cuts. And the third is leave our pensions alone, pretty much.
Right, yeah.
And it's not so much that we're not willing to do a deal. It's that we think there's better ways to do it. The touching people's pensions and touching people's pays is always the last place you should go. And all we're trying to say is, look, let's sit down, let's see if we can find alternative ways to find the pay cuts. There's always alternative ways. As a matter of fact, we have the unions have even published a 10-point plan, a 10-point recovery plan for the country that does actually look for other ways to cut the money that's needed. So we're not saying we're not willing to do business, we're just saying there's other ways to do it. Touch our pay, pension and redundancies last. Simple as that.
So what's the mood like on the picket line?
The mood is quite good. I think it's people are happy to see that. Happy to see that the union can mobilise. It's been a long time since there's been strikes in this country. So today
is most people's first time on strike.
Oh, very much so. It's certainly my first time on strike. Okay. Anyway, yeah. It has been a long time because the partnership process has been very successful, and we would like to kind of see it continue. But today we're just kind of reminding the government that we're here, and just reminding the government that we have a strong membership and we are willing to stand up for what we believe is a fairer way forward. That's what today is up about.
Okay. How was the organising for the strike? Were you able to, was it a bit rusty or you managed to do it all right?
Well, no, it's the first time an awful lot of us have tried to organise anything like this. So it is, it was interesting. It's been an experience and a learning curve for us all. We've organised here by roster, so everybody's doing a 1 hour picket, starting from 8 o'clock. We're finishing up about 4 o'clock today.
Okay.
We have pickets here, we have pickets on the other revenue offices in Dublin Castle, for example. We put pickets on the main gates.
Yeah.
And in pretty much every other office around the country, with the exception of the place that the flooding is on, of course.
Okay.
They need emergency relief work there, so anybody from the unions that was deemed to be necessary to help with the floods was taken off picket duty.
Okay. So there's been a lot in the media about public sector workers and all this stuff. Do you have any idea how would you respond to criticisms of public sector workers coming from a lot of the media?
Well, it depends what the criticism is, I suppose. You know, Ireland is like that. It's like anything. There's 4 million people. There's 4 million opinions.
Yeah.
You know? So it's always sometimes hard to get down to the truth of things. But the public sector does represent about 17% of the workforce. About 1 in 5, give or take. We pay 31% of PRSI, or sorry, PAYE, I beg your pardon.
Yeah.
So it's important to realise that it's not like we're an organisation, it's not like we're a group of people that just take from the government, we give back as well. Like one of the figures being bandied around by the government is there's a public sector pay bill is 20 billion a year, and there's only 33 billion coming in this year. But that's a very simplistic way of looking at things, because yes, it costs about 20 billion from the public sector, but how much of that goes straight back to PAYE, how much of that goes back to PRSI? You need to look at the pension levy. Well, it's called the pension levy, but there's still actually no ironclad pension there, believe it or not.
Yeah.
So you have to look at how much it realistically costs. I think you're going to find it's an awful lot less than 20 billion. So that's, I suppose, one myth that's out there about the public sector. But generally speaking, you know, we're just here to show the government that we are here. We're bigger than they think we are. Like, I mean, there are 1 in 5 people in this country, and for the government to want to put the spending power of 1 in 5 people in the country as well would be a bit of a mistake. And as well, they have to understand as well that we're like anybody else in this country. We're just after coming out of a time when we had massive mortgage hangovers, I suppose, for want of a better word. We have this is almost have to pay childcare. I myself have a daughter in childcare today. That's costing me about 11 grand a year. It's hard to come across money like that, you know. So we're not looking for money to keep luxury. Most of us aren't even on huge wages, you know. So it's just a matter of letting the government know we're around.
All right, great. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you very much.
Christina McLaughlin. I teach in Gardenstein Primary School. And I think that one thing that's not being talked about enough is the fact that we have a lot of special needs kids in our schools that are really suffering as a result of the cutbacks, and the fact that the Epson Act hasn't been implemented. And, you know, I think that, you know, we're a voice for the children as well. It's not all about just take-home pay. And, you know, I think we need to look at the effects these cutbacks are having on our whole educational system and the children that are going to miss out and be affected by it. And I just feel somebody needs to talk for them.
So could you give some more information on what sort of...
Well, Epson was... This Act was to take care... It was implemented... The whole purpose behind it was to ensure that children with special needs would not be left behind in schools, that they would be... processes put in place and procedures to ensure that they had, you know, they were able to compete with their peers and that they would be taken care of. But because of the cutbacks, it hasn't been implemented, even though it has been taught through and it's there. And, you know, I think that, you know, when you're thinking about education, is basically about children. And we need to think of the children and the fact that they're not being taken care of in the society we have now. And that will have repercussions down the line. And I just feel that, you know, this has turned into something against private, against public sector, which it isn't about at all. It's about the fact that there are some people in the country that have wealth, and, you know, private and public are all suffering in this. And, I mean, 34% of the wealth in this country is owned by 1% of the population, and that's not equity. And I think when you take it down to the raw face of what it means in the classroom, it means that you have children who need extra support in reading and maths, or who have, you know, are challenged in some way, and they're not getting that support because we don't have the staff to do it. And that is the reality. And these children are going to go down the line. They won't be able to engage with society. They won't be able to get jobs. They won't reach their potential. And I think that's really bad. And also, we have in our school children from all over the world. Like, half of my class don't speak English, and they're cutting back on language teachers. Now, how you implement a curriculum to children who don't speak English, you know, and like to junior infants, 4-year-olds who have no English, you can't read them a story, you can't do anything. And you really need the manpower to kind of act out the curriculum and kind of, you know, throwing, you know, tasks to do and make it a very interactive kind of process. You can't do that with a big class and one teacher. It just doesn't work. So the children are falling behind, and I think we're failing them too. And that is another side of the cutbacks that people are not looking at. And I just feel strongly about all of this, and feel, and also I think we need to look at the McCarthy report. Yeah. And I feel that a lot of this has been driven by people in the department who have been trying to change conditions and, you know, our conditions of service and our pay and our, you know, working day and all for a long time. And this has given them an opportunity to have their voice heard. The union, I mean, look at the results. I mean, if you look at, you know, European tables or world tables, Irish schools are doing well. Children in Irish schools are performing well by European standards and by world standards. So why are we trying to change something that's obviously working? I mean, look at England. They have their longer day and all this kind of thing, all their paperwork, but the children are not performing as well as Irish children. So why are we, you know, trying so hard to, you know, make teachers work longer hours and have shorter holidays when the system is working? You know, we should be congratulating ourselves and seeing this works, so why change it?
Matt. Okay, so... So what's the attitude like in your school about the cutbacks?
Well, I think people are, you know, they're feeling for themselves and they're feeling for the children. And, you know, I think that people feel bad that children are losing out in this, you know, race to the bottom, like to pay everybody the least amount possible. And just because salaries are driven down in one sector of the economy isn't an excuse to drive. I mean, what about the dignity and value of work? You know, I mean, the society, we'll end up, as somebody said, having an economy and no society. Because this is about people and, you know, people not being able to pay their mortgage. Like people, you know, 8 or 9 years working in a professional capacity after spending 3 or 4 years studying, and they can't pay their mortgage. Like, that's a joke. And, you know, situations where you have two teachers married or a nurse and a teacher, like public sector workers, and they can't pay the cutbacks. They're in negative equity in their houses because of the way things were in the economy. And we never got perks in the boom times, really. We never got bonuses or share preferences or share options or any of these things. And all we're looking for is equity. I mean, we're happy to pay our share, but we feel that why should it just be us? You know, why not the whole working sector? And why not people that have wealth? And look at the pensions, you know, Bertie Ahern going around in a limousine, you know, when we clearly can't afford this kind of thing anymore. And, you know, and you're asking 4- and 5-year-old children to pay for it.
So why do you think the cutbacks are being targeted at the public sector?
They are, because we're easy. It's an adjustment to the computer and the money comes rolling in. But, I mean, it's about people at the end of the day. And, you know, they can pull all the money away from public sector, but people won't be able to pay their bills. They'll cut off their NTL. That's going to cause... I mean, they'll have no disposable income to keep the economy moving. They'll stop shopping. You know, they stop going to Smith's for Christmas. And that's not going to help the economy either. But, I mean, what about the people who really have wealth? Like this 34% of the wealth in the hands of 1%. These, you know, bankers and all who messed up and are getting, you know, paid off with huge pensions. That's not right.
Why do you think they're not being targeted?
Because they're hard. And I think maybe this government is, you know, too closely connected with the developers and the bankers, and they're afraid to target them. And, you know, but they should be doing it.
Do you think the public sector is going to be more hard in future?
I do, because I think we're an easy target. And I think that, you know, a lot of people are just looking at it as, you know, taking money off us to pay for, you know, the fact that we can't pay the bills at the moment. But they're not looking at the whole other side of it, the human side of it. The children in schools not being having their needs met. You know, the McCarthy report coming in to basically tear the system asunder when it is working very well at the moment. And teachers have worked very hard to get these conditions. And I think we do a good job. And I think that, you know, like, if people think about it, do they want their child in a class that's so big that the teacher probably doesn't even know their second name? They don't know that Johnny likes to watch Star Trek. They don't know anything about the children because it's crowd control. I mean, we can go back to that if we want to, but it's the children who will lose out, you know, especially the more vulnerable children, the ones coming from, as in our school, deprived inner city areas, children who don't speak English, who don't have the language of currency in the country they're living in, and who really need the extra help. And they're going to go down the line. They're going to be problems. They're going to get involved in petty crime. They're not going to buy into the system. They're not going to buy into society. We'll have them in prisons. You know what I mean? Like, this has been shown all through the years. Children with learning difficulties are overrepresented as adults in the prison population. And, you know, we have the ability to change this when they're young, if they give us the money and the resources. And teachers do a very good job. And as do all other workers. I'm not just singling teachers out, nurses and all of the public sector. You know, they work hard and they're delivering a good job, and I don't think they should be penalising us like this. They need to be more creative and look to other areas for money as well.
No, that's
we're at Leinster House, and we're on strike here. We're members of the Impact Trade Union.
Okay, and what's the strike about?
The strike is about proposed pay cuts. We've already had a 5% cut in our wages this year. We're now facing another 7% cut. And we've been in negotiations with the government to try and find other ways of achieving the savings they say are needed. And they have refused all attempts to come to an agreed solution, so we've no alternative now but to go on strike.
Why do you think the government's adopted that attitude?
Well, I suppose they feel the public service is an easy option, and they can just pick on us rather than... they seem to be anxious to channel what funds they have into paying the huge salaries of disgraced bank officials and in supporting zombie banks. And they feel that public service money can be used to do this.
Okay, so do you think this strike would be able to force the government to change their plans?
Well, I absolutely hope so, but there's no indication yet that they will. But hopefully when they see the anger of the members here today and the amount of people that have turned out, that they will, yeah, see sense and come to the negotiating table with the unions.
Okay, so what's the mood like on the picket line?
People are pretty angry. Yeah, I mean, there's a good spirit here today, but and a lot of people have come out, but people are very angry, and they're afraid, and they're afraid, coming up to Christmas now, of the huge cuts they're going to have to face this year. A lot of people with really high mortgages, a lot of young people who took mortgages out with the ridiculous prices we saw in the last few years, which they now have to, of course, pay off by supporting the banks as well as paying their own mortgages. So, you know, I would say people are very, very angry, yeah.
Okay. So is this your first time on strike?
It's not, no. I'm a veteran of two strikes. I was on the ASTI strike in 2001, I think it was, and my first part-time job in Roger Stores in the 80s. They started the strike 2 days after I started. So there you go.
Okay, so do you reckon most people here would be the first time on strike?
I think so, yes. Yeah, okay. A lot of people, it's their first time. I mean, it's 20 years since we've had a public sector strike, so yeah, definitely, yeah.
Okay. How was the organising like?
The organising was very good, yeah. Very methodical, meticulous. We had great support with our headquarters staff and a lot of volunteers prepared to work and draw up rosters and keep people informed. It was one of our main jobs. And, of course, so, yeah, it went very smoothly, I think.
All right, brilliant. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Okay.
My name is Sally Shields. I work in a multi-denominational school on Ballymun Road. I've been teaching 35 years.
Yeah. And what are you doing out here today?
I'm out here today because I'm really angry about the inequity of what's being done. I cannot understand why the government won't just tax everybody on the same rate, increase taxation, so anyone on my wages is equally being cut, because we can all afford it equally. If I can afford it, they can too. Taxing proper wealth taxes will fund schools, will fund hospitals, and it's an absolute nonsense to say the money isn't there. It's there. It's all been creamed off. It's all been creamed off over the last number of years by the wealthy, and it is important that they are seen to pay their share as well as paying it. Schools are in crisis. The class size has increased. It's twice in my teaching career I've seen class size increase when we are heading for the top of the table in Europe for class size. The poorest of countries have smaller class sizes than we do. SNAs are being pulled from children with severe special needs, and that's scandalous as well. Children need support in school. Hospitals are being cut back at a time when we could have had the money to put into the infrastructure. It was taken away with an agenda of privatise instead of reinforcing and supporting the public hospitals, public schools and so on.
Do you think you'll be able to force the government to change their plans?
Well, I would hope so. And I think they'll have seen a great unity. Anywhere you go in the city today, you see pickets out. And I think maybe it's bringing home to people how much the public service is active all around this country and how essential they are. And I hope, and sincerely hope, that it means the government will re-look at their thinking and realise that the taxation system is the only equitable and fair way to go.
Will you be prepared to keep on coming out, if necessary?
If we have to, I hope we don't have to, because nobody wants to be on strike. I'd much rather be in school working. But yes, if we have to, we will be out again.
Okay, thank you very much.
This audio consists of 10 brief interviews with public sector strikers made during the national strike on the 24th of November 2009. You'll find more reports on this strike at www.wsm.ie/story/6241. You'll also find more audio downloads at the WSM site.